But she and her husband can't get off the ship. They're quarantined. This is Monday, February 10th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. You are part of this program. How do you do that? You join us on VOA Asia Facebook. Also ahead, the coronavirus has overtaken the SARS outbreak and the number of people it has killed. If you go to a restaurant in Malaysia, leave your smokes home. And preparations are just about complete for tonight's Academy Awards in Hollywood. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The death toll on mainland China from the coronavirus outbreak reached 811 by late Saturday, surpassing the number of deaths caused by the SARS pandemic of 2002 and 2003, according to Chinese officials. 89 people died of the illness on Saturday alone, according to China's National Health Commission. Severe acute respiratory syndrome, or SARS, is believed to have killed more than 774 people and sickened nearly 8,100 in China and the Special Administrative Region of Hong Kong. The commission reported that new infection cases dropped Saturday for the first time since February 1st to 2,656 for a total of 37,198. Joseph Eisenberg, a professor of epidemiology at the School of Public Health at the University of Michigan, told the Reuters news agency that it was too early to say whether the epidemic was peaking due to the uncertainty in the number of cases. He told Reuters, even if reported cases might be peaking, we don't know what's happening with unreported cases. He added this is especially an issue in some of the more rural areas. Among the new fatalities are a U.S. citizen in Wuhan, China, the epicenter of the outbreak. Officials at the American Embassy in Beijing said that Saturday. The embassy said that the 60-year-old American died February 6th. A Japanese citizen is also reported to have died in Wuhan of viral pneumonia, likely caused by the coronavirus, although that has not been confirmed. The World Health Organization director, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, said Saturday it would send an international team and investigators to China Monday or Tuesday. Tedros did not name the team members, saying the organization will publicize everything as soon as we're ready. The WHO said Friday it's too early to confirm one Chinese official's belief that the outbreak is about to peak. However, the WHO public health specialist Mike Ryan said Saturday the number of new cases in the Hubei region province, of which Wuhan is the capital, had stabilized over the past 4 days, which may reflect, he said, the impact of control measures put in place. Hong Kong began enforcing Saturday a 14-day quarantine for arrivals from mainland China. Hong Kong, after more than 2,000 medical workers walked off the job earlier this week. On Saturday, Japan confirmed 3 new infectious cases aboard the Diamond Princess cruise ship moored off Japan, raising the total to 64. The 3,700 passengers who were confined aboard this ship face a 14-day quarantine. 14 days is the virus's incubation period. We get more now from VOA's Mariana Diallo.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says 2 of the people who were aboard the Royal Caribbean cruise ship had traveled to China recently and were displaying respiratory symptoms. The other 2 were members of the same family and are being evaluated as a precaution. The CDC director says the level of coronavirus exposure risk depends on where the passengers have traveled.
It's complicated because these cruise ships, you're really dependent on the place of origin.
There's been a rise in the number of confirmed coronavirus cases on another cruise ship docked off Japan, where around 3,700 people remain confined to their cabins. Philip and Gay Corder are currently on board the cruise liner.
We've got to get off this ship.
We're certainly prepared to do the 14 days if it's safe to do 14 days, but I don't think it's even safe to be here for that length of time now, unfortunately.
Japanese officials say 61 people have now tested positive for the disease on the quarantined ship. Meanwhile, Americans continue to be evacuated from Wuhan. A total of 800 Americans have been brought out of the city on chartered planes.
The first charter flight departed Wuhan on January 28th. 2 subsequent flights departed on February 5th. Yesterday, on February 6th, Two additional evacuation flights departed Wuhan.
He says the State Department has helped deliver 18 tons of donated supplies to China and is ready to do more.
Today, at the direction of the Secretary of State, I am pleased to announce that the United States government is prepared to spend up to $100 million in existing funds to assist China and other impacted countries, as well as the World Health Organization, to contain and combat the novel coronavirus.
In Hong Kong, a small group gathered to commemorate the death of Dr. Li Wenliang, a Chinese doctor who had warned about the possible spread of a new virus in Wuhan in early December of last year.
We feel very sad that Dr. Li, who is the first whistleblower about the coronavirus, and he just tried to tell the truth.
The 34-year-old ophthalmologist died on Friday in Wuhan Central Hospital after contracting the deadly new strain of the coronavirus. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
On Friday, U.S. President Donald Trump praised Chinese President Xi Jinping's efforts to combat the coronavirus as Xi faces mounting domestic criticism following the virus-related death of that physician who issued the early warning about the outbreak. After a Friday phone conversation with Xi, Trump praised China's response and said Xi was leading what will be a very successful operation. We invite you to read more on our top story by following us on Facebook at VOA Asia and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at VOAnews.com. A Thai soldier who shot dead at least 29 people in the northeastern region of that country Saturday afternoon was killed by security forces Sunday after a 12-hour standoff. The U.S. military in Afghanistan confirmed Sunday at least two of its soldiers were killed, six others wounded, when an Afghan partner turned his gun on them. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is warning American governors from across the country of the risks of doing business with China, saying competition with China is happening on a federal, state, and local level, and it has consequences for U.S. foreign policy and national security. Rights groups and researchers have welcomed Thailand's decision to cancel a Beijing-backed project to dredge and blow open a hole in a dam in the Mekong River. VOA Asia continues. Many U.S. companies are collectively holding their breath, wondering if Chinese factories will open Monday. China extended the Lunar New Year holiday because of the outbreak of the coronavirus, highlighting again how China is the world's manufacturing capital. Michelle Quinn reports from San Francisco.
Michael Brandon relies on a host of factories in China to custom manufacture products such as this pest zapper. He is waiting to see the effect the coronavirus outbreak has on the many outstanding factory orders he has in China.
Next week, factories will be returning. And I think at that point, we'll know if, in fact, there's a coronavirus issue.
One of the factories he works with is outside of Wuhan, the city in China that has been on a lockdown for several weeks. It makes pet products.
We're lucky at this point. We don't have a current order with them.
Each year, U.S. companies expect Chinese factories to slow down around the Lunar New Year holiday. But because of the coronavirus, the Chinese government extended the holiday, affecting many factories. The South Korea automaker Hyundai temporarily suspended production because of a short supply of parts made in China. Pharmaceutical, auto, electronics, and retail could be most hit, highlighting a harsh reality. There are not a lot of alternatives for U.S. companies that rely on Chinese manufacturing.
What impacts China impacts the Bay Area. And so whatever is economically or culturally or from a health perspective impacting China will inevitably economically impact the Bay Area.
James Bolton is the director of operations at Pablo Designs, a lighting design company in San Francisco. Most of its products are manufactured in China. This Sunday night, as Chinese workers are supposed to be back at work, Bolton plans to be online.
I will probably be WeChatting with all of my contacts in China and try to understand the real impact of the shutdown as well as the official line of the shutdowns.
As China grapples with the coronavirus, experts say it's unclear how much the virus will disrupt the global supply chain. Michelle Quinn, VOA News, San Francisco.
Happening now in Asia, hundreds of Myanmar nationalists rallied in that country's commercial capital Sunday in a show of support for the military, that amid tensions between the civilian government and the army ahead of elections expected later this year. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. A smoking ban in all Malaysian eateries is sparking controversy, particularly now that it's being enforced. The ban officially began a year ago, but violators started getting penalized only recently. Dave Grunebaum has more.
At this open-air food court, Ishwari Thirumalai enjoys time with her family. She says now that the new smoking ban is being enforced, the atmosphere is much better than before.
Actually, it's really discomfort for us because while we are eating, we'll be like, smell the smoke things, right? So it's like really, it's not healthy for us while we are eating.
A year ago, a new law was implemented that prohibits smoking in all eateries nationwide. At the time, smoking was already banned in air-conditioned restaurants. But the new law also banned smoking within 3 meters of any table or chair at all indoor and outdoor eateries. After a one-year phase-in period, authorities are no longer just warning violators. Since January, they've issued more than 5,000 tickets, with fines ranging from the equivalent of $35 to $85.
The National Cancer Society of Malaysia fully supports the law as well as the enforcement of it. 20,000 people die of smoking-related illnesses each year in Malaysia. Smoking, as well as passive smoking, which is secondhand smoke, causes 15 kinds of cancer, heart diseases, and it worsens diabetes as well as mental illnesses.
The new law directly affects Malaysia's popular semi-enclosed food courts. But some of these eateries complain the new law has cut business by 20% and want open-air food courts to be allowed to have a smoking area.
We really request to have a small smoking zone for the convenience of the smoker.
Henry Wong does not smoke, but still thinks the law has gone too far.
People choose to smoke. They're allowed to smoke. I mean, it's their life, it's their health. So I don't really agree with banning people from smoking.
Stephen Wong sat at a food court table with a lit cigarette until other customers objected.
There's a lot of people complain about secondhand smoking, but I have friends or ladies which are in their 80s, and they have inhaling secondhand smoke for 50 years, maybe 60 years. They're still alive.
For non-smokers who are exposed to secondhand smoke in homes as well as offices, they increase their risk of smoking-related diseases by 20 to 30%. So it may be your choice to smoke, but it's not someone else's choice to be exposed to secondhand smoke.
With enforcement of the new law, it's a debate that the smoke-free air advocates appear to be winning. Dave Grunebaum for VOA News, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Coming your way, preparations for the Sunday night Academy Awards show. You're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. With VOA Asia, also follow radio program hosts VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news alert from VOA Asia. Indian-held Kashmir was hit by a general strike Sunday called by the separatist Jammu Kashmir Liberation Front to mark the anniversary of the death of a Kashmiri man who was executed for his part in an attack on India's parliament in 2001. You're listening to VOA Asia. In war-weary Afghanistan, there is youthful exuberance on one of the country's many snowy mountains. Snowboarders say they're part of a generation eager to move on from violence and conflict. VOA's Arash Abadi has more.
Young people on a snowy mountain on the outskirts of Kabul look to change perceptions about Afghanistan.
Snowboarding is a new face of Afghanistan, and we established it to show this new face to the world so they can see that a country where there is fighting and ethnic problems is not only all about war.
Afghan Mujahideen once used this hillside on Korak Mountain to rain down artillery and rockets on Kabul during the country's civil war in the 1990s. Now it's a place of laughter atop 60 centimeters of snow, one that inspires thoughts and dreams of the future.
This new generation of Afghanistan that you see has a different vision for this country. They want development. We are optimistic that when the Taliban come, they should come with a vision for a more progressive Afghanistan.
Not everyone shares that optimism.
If the Taliban come back, snowboarding becomes impossible. Taliban are not sports-friendly people. They want neither peace nor sports. If they return, we won't be able to snowboard.
Political concerns aside, young people here live in the moment, practicing a sport that brings them joy.
When I see people crazed for the sport, boys and girls doing it, falling down again and again, but still keep playing, I really believe it has a bright future and we can make something of it.
Kabul is one of only two areas in Afghanistan with enough security to offer winter sports. Fighting throughout the country between the Taliban and U.S.-Afghan allies rages on, while the United States and Taliban negotiate to sign a peace agreement. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
This news break from VOA Asia. The Philippines confirmed on Sunday that African swine fever infections had spread in the south of the country, which accounts for nearly a third of the nation's 12.8 million pig herd. Additional cases have also been identified in some northern provinces, according to the Department of Agriculture. Visit VOA Asia on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. The 92nd Academy Awards ceremony takes place in Los Angeles Sunday, and the city is just finishing up the last-minute preparations for the event. Angelino Bagdasarian has the story. It's narrated by Anna Rice.
Greg Donovan, the ambassador of Hollywood, is one of the most widely recognized people in Los Angeles, especially so just before the Academy Awards ceremony.
Sir,
ambassador,
you see?
Donovan has been working here for many years. He knows celebrities and can show tourists where each Hollywood star is located. He also keeps a close eye on the decorations for the Academy Awards ceremony.
The Oscars to me is like the Super Bowl, the Olympics, and the World Cup all put together. Hollywood, the whole world is watching this Sunday.
2 weeks before the event, part of Hollywood Boulevard gets blocked off, and hundreds of workers start putting together the intricate decorations. 1,500 square meters of red carpet at a cost of about $25,000. And there are plenty of pearls and gold scattered among the decorations. It's worth it, because every year, the Oscars mean about $130 million worth of revenue to the city of Los Angeles. But times are not so good for some souvenir shop owners.
I guess it's slow because people are not traveling as much.
Some attribute that to the recent coronavirus outbreak, but it hasn't dissuaded the hardcore fans.
I'm just like the Oscar super fan. That's what people call me. I didn't make up that name. But every year I just add to my outfit. This year I put film rolls on my hat and Oscar statues. And people give me pieces of the carpet every year.
Irina has traveled to Los Angeles from Russia. It's been her dream to see Hollywood Boulevard during the Oscars.
I wanted to see the preparations for the Oscars, at least a peek.
A lot of tourists say their money is on Once Upon a Time in Hollywood to get Best Picture, because it is about old Hollywood and the tragedies it has seen in addition to all the glamour and shine. The world will soon find out if the tourists got it right. For Angelina Bogdasarian in Los Angeles, Anna Rice, VOA News.
This is Science in a Minute.
An international team of astronomers says they found an ancient and massive galaxy that, at its peak, produced nearly 1,000 stars each year. The Milky Way produces around only one new star a year. Benjamin Forrest from the University of California, Riverside, is the lead author of the Astrophysical Journal published study that detailed the discovery. He says the galaxy called XMM2599 formed most of its stars in a colossal burst of activity when the universe was less than 1 billion years old, and that it then became inactive only 800 million years later. According to study co-author Gillian Wilson, a galaxy the size of XMM2599 would be expected to produce stars for many more billions of years. She adds the galaxy may have become inactive because it stopped getting any fuel or its black hole turned on. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Let us reiterate our top story. The death toll on mainland China from the coronavirus outbreak reached 811 late Saturday. It has probably been added to today as well, being Sunday still in the United States. It surpassed the number of deaths caused by the SARS pandemic of 2002-2003, according to Chinese officials. We also have word that North Korea's medical system for coping with contagious diseases like the coronavirus is prioritized to protect the elites in the regime in Pyongyang and is unequipped to treat its local citizens. That according to a former North Korean medical doctor. Choi Jung-hoon, a North Korean defector who is now a research professor at Korea University's Public Policy Research Institute in Seoul, said North Korea is making a big fuss about the virus because its medical care system is unfit to take necessary measures to contain it. Choi said instructions for taking sanitary and quarantine measures from North Korean leader Kim Jong-un are handed down to local leaders, but he said there are problems implementing them at the provincial level because rudimentary medical facilities are ill-equipped and the medical infrastructure is focusing on Pyongyang.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
As we continue our coverage of the coronavirus that started in Wuhan, China, we have a little bit more information about the city of Wuhan. That is where Mao Zedong, who was then 72 years old, swam in the Yangtze River in 1966 in a display of what he said was vigorous health just before the onset of the Cultural Revolution. Augusto Ignacio Arada Herrera has lived in Wuhan, a second-tier megacity of 11 million people in central China, for 3 years now. Compared to his hometown of Concepcion, Chile, Wuhan, he says, is too humid, and he copes with Wuhan's harsh winters by traveling outside of China. Ignacio, who's 34, is a PhD student of international relations at Central China Normal University, one of Wuhan's 83 institutions of higher education. That total puts Wuhan in second place after Beijing, which has 94. According to official numbers, there are at least 500,000 students in Wuhan. You've been listening to VOA Asia. You can get our program on iTunes and SoundCloud. Download our podcast. Take VOA Asia with you. Visit our VOAnews.com program page, see us on YouTube, follow us on VOA Asia Twitter, and let us hear from you. VOA Asia Facebook and our email, VOAasia@VOAnews.com. Thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Tony Pollack, our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Have a great day.